Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, the more I thought about it this past week, the more I realized that there is a common question that pops up in so many situations throughout the course of life. Namely, what do I have to do? Kids ask it in terms of passing a course. Okay, what do I have to do to pass this thing? How many papers, whatever. Or, what do I have to do to get an A? Or, young people will say, what do I have to do to get on the varsity football game, team? Or, at a certain point in life, what do I have to do to get the use of the car on Friday night? Clean the garage, okay. Clean my room, well, that's a little more of a problem. But what do I have to do? And adults, we do the same thing. What do I have to do to get the dream job that I really want? What do I have to do to get a raise? What do I have to do to qualify for a discount? If I happen to dream of a political career, what do I have to do to win votes? If I made a mess of something within the context of a marriage or family, what do I have to do to show I really, really am sorry? So we shouldn't be surprised if, in the midst of all of those similar questions in so many parts of life, we hear a question in the gospel, like the one posed in this morning's reading, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And I think it's very precise that the question should be not to obtain, but to inherit. Because to inherit means I really don't have a right to it. It's a gift, but it is a gift given to me as a result of something or other that I have done or shown. So the question, what do I have to do to inherit, receive the gift of the kingdom? The bottom line, we heard it a moment ago, basic, is obey the commandments. And I noticed when I looked at that list again that they are, every one of them, communal commandments. In other words, commandments about our relationship with one another. It's not, they're not listed as, you know, believe in God, not take name, but it's relationship to one another. It's about killing. It's about adultery. It's about stealing, about lying, defrauding. Honoring parents. It's all relationships. Basic. We enter the kingdom by making sure that our relationships with each other are on target. That they're right. Because God is in the midst of all of that. But then, in a sense, to be sure, to have a sense of being in full and complete harmony with God, the man was told, well, give up everything. Depend upon God, not yourself. Whoa, said Peter. Whoa. Holy smokes. Everything. It's a lot to ask. And as a matter of fact, over the history of Christianity, a few people have taken that seriously and literally. Like Francis de Sales, who famously simply took off all his clothes, every one of them, and folded them neatly and gave them back to his dad, who was left astonished and irate, because he was presuming that Francis Francisco would take over the business, and all of a sudden he gave everything back and went off and did what he thought God was asking him to do. Some people take it literally, but most of us take that invitation seriously, but not literally. We understand that or we grow to understand, maybe that's a better way, of appreciating that everything we have really isn't ours alone, but rather in some way reflects a joint ownership, some way. And eventually we come to the point of understanding that whatever we have, in quotes, is kind of borrowed. Experience reminds us that all of life is a gradual process of training and learning that fundamental truth. Because, you know, at the beginning, little kids say, it's mine. That's mine. Take it back. But then, as we mature, we understand that that really isn't the way it is. It should be ours. Parents, people who are married, understand it's ours, not just mine. People in religious life, it's ours, not just mine. And then gradually, as life unfolds, we understand that, well, it isn't for our use forever, as God calls us home, and so we make a list of how we would give the things that we have had to other people. So you can have this. And we either do it freely, giving things away in the course of life, or under duress, because eventually, as they always tell us, there's no one buried with a bank account in a purse or pocket. We're just us. So today's gospel is a reminder that nothing is ours, really, as permanent possessions. I have a very vivid memory. I'm a little hesitant to use this, but I have a very vivid memory. 20 years ago, 23 years ago, being at a dinner party, an elegant event. I remember the place and even the setting. And there was a very elegant woman across the supper table, well-dressed. And I remember it was in the middle of the first gas crisis, where all of a sudden it wasn't enough and people were worried and the first lines that went blocks. And I remember her saying, well, it's my gas. I can use it the way I want. I didn't know what to say, because it just seemed so terribly wrong in that situation, but in general, it wasn't really her gas. And she didn't have the right, really, to use it the way she wanted. Well, no matter, so everything, nothing really belongs to us, no matter what certificates or pieces of paper we may have in a safety deposit box or in a shoebox somewhere in the closet. Nothing is really ours. Each of us, granted, has our own collection of things, depending on our personality and interests. Little kids have collections of dolls and teddy bears and marbles and who knows what. But then we grow and we still keep one kind of collection after another. Some guys have a collection of bench tools. Can't resist another wrench because it kind of looks neat. And people have collections of shoes and sweaters, collections of famous people whom they know or kind of know or who have met. I confess I struggle with the issue of sweaters. I get some lovely sweaters, and I had this principle that I should have no more than 6 sweaters. Well, that's pretty hard for me anyway. And books. I can't give away books. We all have our own. Add your own. But it's a reminder that even the things we treasure in some kind of unique way, for whatever reason, are not really ours. Pope Francis reminds us that our real needs are really simple and few. And he reminds us that there are so many things we take for granted which the rest of the world would give anything to have. The trick with spirituality is we've been told any number of times in the course of life, solid spirituality is coming to want what we have and not having what we want. Ancient Israel had the practice of the Great Jubilee. How much they actually did it, we're not sure. But the law said every 50 years, property went back to its original owner. It was more difficult in towns because you couldn't keep track of 50 years. That was a long time for people whose life expectancy was maybe 30 years or 33 years. That was a long time. So it was more difficult in towns. But in the countryside, every 50 years, land went back to the original owner to somehow equalize membership in God's people, that the haves and have-nots at the end of 50 years were kind of brought down, looking at each other eye to eye. Shoulder to shoulder. It was a great equalizer. Once again, recognition that everything is gift. And we are caretakers. So what do I have to do? The man asked Jesus with a great deal of generosity and genuine faith. And he was asked to do something bigger than he expected. He had to go away and think about that. In the last analysis, we stand around this altar once again and say, nothing is mine. Everything is ours. And ultimately, essentially, everything is yours, O God.